This is Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Maureen McCollum. A study released earlier this year by the Chronicle of Philanthropy shows Wisconsin ranks 26th in the nation in the amount of charitable donations given. The city of La Crosse metro area, which includes Minnesota's Houston County, contributed $47.7 million in 2008, or 3.4% of its income. That's less than the average American, who contributes 4.7% of their income. Two prominent La Crosse area businessmen, who have become leading philanthropists in the last decade, say there's more to giving than just money, and the gift of one's time may be more important than the gift of cash. I talked with Logistics Health Incorporated founder and CEO, Don Weber, and Festival Foods chairman and founder, Dave Scogan, about the idea of giving.
To summarize it, I would say somewhere in the Bible, it says something about those too much have been given, much is expected. It's not a choice, it's a responsibility. I mean, people with wealth, and you can measure wealth from somebody that has $100,000 in a bank or $10 million, but, you know, I think we have a responsibility to give a share of that back. And I've been told forever and ever that why is it that the wealthy give less than the people that aren't wealthy as a percentage of their income? And that bothers me when I hear that because we all know of a few people that are miserly and have wealth. I think Don feels like I do that to have a philanthropic community, everybody's got to give. Everybody's got to step in if you're going to get stuff done. And it gets very tiring, I'm sure, for just to have a handful of people that give and the rest of the community sits back and enjoys it when they have capacity to give and they're not doing it. So I just think much has been given me, and I just feel that in turn I have to give back.
Don Weber first. Would you also like to share your philosophy on giving?
There are, you know, so few that have so much, and there are so many that have so little. And I've been blessed. And, you know, I see people who search their whole life for what their real purpose is. And to me, it's really about giving back. We all have a purpose in life, I think, and it is to make a difference, to reach out, and to give back. I believe true happiness, you know, comes from the fulfillment of self-giving. And to me, giving isn't about what's left over, what's extra. It's really, you need to sacrifice. You need to, you know, it needs to make a difference in your life. I look at everything I have in my life, including life itself, as a gift. I believe gifts are to be shared. I believe that we receive these gifts so that they should be used for the service of others. When I was a young kid on the farm, Dave came up in a business environment. I came up on a farm environment. My father and mother raised five of us and struggled. I saw them every month sitting down trying to figure out what little income they had, what bills they had to pay, and what other bills they could stretch out. I felt sorry for myself because I thought, you know, we don't have what a lot of others have. And yet, I owe so much to my mom and dad because when my father passed away a few years ago, mom came to me and she says, you know, she says, we have $7,000 in our savings account. And I thought, all these years and how hard they worked. But the thing that they had a fulfilling life. Because with what little they had, they were always reaching out and trying to help others. I didn't realize that as a young kid. And so when I was 18, I enlisted into the Marine Corps. And all of a sudden, I was in a different part of the world, and I saw these young kids whose father was gone. Many of them had lost their father in the wars. They lived in a bamboo hut, dirt floors, no running water, no electricity, and they were begging for food. And I thought, wait a minute. I thought I had it bad. I didn't have it bad at all. I had a roof over my head. We never went to bed hungry. And so all of a sudden, now in my life, for whatever reason, I've been blessed. And I'll never forget where I came from. I believe I've been entrusted, you know, by somebody much greater than us here on earth to do the right thing, to feel like you are making a difference. At the end of the day, I always tell my people, you know, that's what really matters, is when you have a sense of fulfillment, a sense of well-being, because you've helped someone else. And you don't really need to know who you're reaching out and helping. It's not so much about that. The greatest thing that we can give back is not so much monetary. It's what's most precious to us, and that's our personal time. There's nothing more precious to anyone than their personal time. We all have a set amount of time. We don't know when it's going to end here on earth. And so don't waste that day, because when it's gone, it's over with. You can't get it back. And when someone serves by giving back their personal time, there's nothing greater you can give to someone.
And Dave Scogin, do you think back to your childhood often, like Don Weber has, when you think about giving? I mean, when you were working young in your family's grocery store?
Yeah, I learned a lot from my dad in that area, too. He was very generous, and I could never understand it. Drove my mother nuts. But he would charge groceries to people. Nobody paid cash. He charged. And if you happened to be working for a factory that went on strike, you didn't pay till the strike was over. It was just something. You go to a tavern, 10-cent beers, you sat down with Paul Scogin, and he put $10 on the bill, and everybody swarmed around him. And I say to my mom, why does he do that? And I understand it today because he could afford it, and the people that surrounded him couldn't afford it. And that was his way to share his wealth, one of his ways. But he did the swimming pool stuff. He did all that stuff, too, and I watched him be generous. It can be learned, but I think it's also born in you when you have a dad, a mom that gave a lot.
It's interesting that both of you talk about responsibility and duty. It's a duty to give back to the community.
You look at the community we live in. We've gone through some tough times, and you go around the country, you go around the state, and you look at many communities that are struggling. La Crosse is doing quite well. It really is. And people do give back here. You have to. Almost 40% of new births today are single parents. Or when you go to the Boys and Girls Club or the Family and Children's Center or the YMCA, all of these organizations, there's so many of them, you see the need there. There's such a need. And, you know, Dave and I have talked about this, you know, and the burden is really heavy. And there's no one person that can carry that burden alone. But if you spread it out, it's manageable. And, you know, there's nothing wrong with being successful, and there's nothing wrong with, you know, enjoying some of the fine things in life if you understand that you need to also give back and help others. That's very important. And I think this community, in a lot of ways, is part of the culture here.
I've heard from some people that they say La Crosse is very good at supporting its community, not only in times of need, but just with overall giving, maybe compared to other communities within Wisconsin. Why is that?
You know, I get asked that question a lot, and I believe it was the folks like Heilemans and Mr. Cum, Reinhardt's, Gillette's, and these people that we learned from. We watched it happen. I certainly did. You watched and saw the joy they had in giving. And I'm not going to go as far as to say that I said to myself, I can't wait till I can give away a lot of money. But I remember it real well. And I will tell you, having stores in markets like Eau Claire and Green Bay and Fond du Lac and Oshkosh, nobody in this state, in my opinion, per capita, gives more to the charities, to the universities, to the theaters and the schools and the churches than what's going on right here in La Crosse. I can tell you that from experience, because we're involved philanthropically in these communities, and they're not doing the kind of stuff. Eau Claire and La Crosse, you can use as an example. When they built their convention center in Eau Claire, and Mr. Reinhardt built the hotel that was going to allow for a convention center, there's night and day difference, and it both happened about the same time. But La Crosse is, because of Mr. Reinhardt, said we're going to invest millions of dollars in a hotel here. The convention center was built, and it was built bigger and better because of him.
And Don Weber, did you have similar inspirations? I mean, did you look towards people as you were, you know, coming up through your career? And were you inspired by people like, you know, the forefathers in lacrosse.
I didn't know the Gillettes and the Reinhardts, you know, like Dave did, you
sure.
know. I mean, Dave grew up in lacrosse or in on Alaska, the community. You know, I was on a small family farm. Coming to lacrosse was like a major, you know, trip. And you know, every once in a while, Sunday morning after chores and we went to church, we'd come down and see my grandma and grandpa. I was like, wow, this is a real trip. So I never really got to really know what was going on in lacrosse, you know. I think for me, you know, it was, you know, not understanding so much about what it was, the difference you can make. I think it has a lot to do with my faith and about we're here and figuring out what your purpose in life is. No matter who you are, it's really about making a difference. And it's not so much about material things. In a lot of ways, we all know people and individuals and families who are very dysfunctional because of wealth. Wealth can be very destructive if you don't know how to manage it. And we know families who come from wealth, where the second or third or fourth generation really doesn't carry it on. You need to understand how important it is to the community. We all prosper from that. Dave, the better the community does, the better Dave's businesses do. The better, you know, our schools do here, the more employees, educated employees we can hire so that it helps our company grow. And the more people that we bring to the community from outside of this area, they come here because it's a wholesome area. I hear it all the time. Hey, you know, we can still raise a family here and we don't have to worry about our kids going across the street to play with the neighbors. You know, it has to do with if we didn't give back and try to, you know, manage these needs, we wouldn't have that here. But I agree. I see what those people did. What they did 50 years ago encourages me today because we wouldn't be prospering if they hadn't. And so long after Dave and I and our families move on 50 years from now, I'm hoping because of what we do, they'll be prospering. What we have really is only temporary. Everything we have is temporary. And you can't take it with you. By leaving things behind and making a difference for others, think about what that means for the future. And so that's kind of, you know, where I came from because, you know, at one point in time, I lost my home. I didn't have a home. You know, I lived in a chicken coop for 9 months.
Why was that?
Because I had nothing. I lost everything I had. And, you know, and I got a job laying PVC pipe, 12-inch PVC pipe. I've laid hundreds of miles of it for water and sewer main. But it was a job, and I had an income. And then on weekends, I worked for a contractor who paved driveways. And I knew this isn't what I wanted to do all the rest of my life, but I worked my way back. And I've been there. I've been on the bottom. And you know what I learned? It wasn't the end of the world. It really wasn't. And there were times where, you know, there were people, because of what they did, it helped me. It helped me. And I look at all of our employees, as Dave does, a lot of young people. 80% of our employees are in their 20s and 30s, and they're starting their families and their careers out. How important that job is to them, you know, because without it, where would they be? And so, you know, it seems like, I don't know if Dave sees this, but and you don't do this, you don't reach out, you don't give back expecting things in return. But for some reason, it seems like the more you do, the more opportunity comes your way. It just seems that way.
You know, let me think about this. True giving is doing something for someone that can't repay you. And I got Don alluded to that. We both found joy in giving. You know, you don't have any idea how good we feel. Whether we give the university $1 million or we give a school $1,000 check. I mean, sometimes the little ones are even more rewarding than the other ones. So true giving is doing something for someone that can't repay you.
Well, I wonder if people ever feel that sense of paying you back. I mean, do you ever experience that yourselves? And is it necessary to pay it back, or do you expect the people to then pay it forward?
Kind words is all it takes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It, you know, getting a little card or a note sometimes means a lot. knowing that, you know, that's really, I know Dave's, he said it. I mean, I don't think most people who truly give do it and are expecting it in return. Well, someday when you can, give it back to me. In fact, most times we try to do it like Dave says. It's not about knowing. It's not about people knowing. Our employees, 100% of our employees, give to the United Way. You know, and think about that. And when we talked to them a couple years ago, one of our employees who was a student here, worked full-time at LHI and was a full-time student, had another part-time job, and I said, hey, if it's only $5 a month, you know, that means, one less trip through McDonald's or whatever, you know. And she said, you know, I can't afford $5. I pay for my school, my room, my board. I work, you know, two jobs. But she says, I have Saturday afternoons from like noon to 5. Can I volunteer? Can I have? That's giving. That's really giving back, you know. And so it's not about what we're going to get in return. And it's not about people knowing what we did or, you know, so much of what Dave does and others, it helps so many people out there. They don't know where it comes from. It's going to bed at night with peace of mind. I mean, you can't buy peace of mind knowing that you did the right thing and somewheres it's making a difference. And that's like our business. Because every day we're touching somebody's life. Our people know that. Someone in the service is getting touched every day. And that's what it's all about, making a difference.
You're listening to Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Maureen McCollum. My guests today are Don Weber. He's the founder and CEO of Logistics Health Incorporated here in La Crosse. And Dave Scogan. He's the chairman and founder of Festival Foods. I'm wondering if you can think back to maybe your first major gift that you gave, because maybe I can imagine, like, for any person, your first major gift may be a little scary, exciting, but a little scary. Is that how it was for you? I mean, can you think back to that day? Because I know you even said you looked up to people when you were younger and couldn't wait for the day that you could give like them.
Yeah. The first gift, if I remember right, it was a gift to our church. We were falling in debt and weren't managing our money well. And my wife Barb had this dream that we gave the church $400,000. They had an $800,000 debt, just wasn't getting retired. And then we had a match by the congregation. This was at 8 o'clock in the morning, 9 o'clock church. And we went after the service and talked to the pastor about it. We're going to do it. I mean, and she said she dreamt it, that we gave it. I said, okay, you know, I knew what we had in cash that we could do this quickly. And so we presented the next Sunday the church with we showed them a $400,000 check, but it wasn't going to be given until the membership coughed up $400,000. And that was in January, and in March they raised that $400,000 and we paid off an $800,000 debt. That's the one I remember as sizable, and that was probably 10, 12 years ago. There's a lot of stories like that. And, you know, when people say, oh, you know, Don, you do so much for the community, they have no idea how much joy we're getting out of this. It's like, oh, yeah, we're just generous people that were brought up to give. Selfishly, there's a tremendous amount of joy in giving.
My first major gift was in 2003. It wasn't until really that point in time when, you know, things started coming together for me. It was, you know, way more than I ever thought I'd give in my lifetime, you know, as far as financial gift. And it wasn't that I promised to pay it over 5 years. And I knew I may have to borrow the money to do it if things didn't continue to go. You know, things just kept happening. And, you know, all of a sudden you get to the point and you make that final payment and you know what it's gone to, you know, whether it's research at one of the great hospitals we have here, schools today need so much help, you know, I mean, whatever they are. That was my first real major gift. We get involved with major, you know, gift giving for major opportunities, for things that will make a difference in the community. I mean, healthcare is our tier one employer. You know, we see we have some of the best healthcare in the country. They're always looking for, you know, support for research and, you know, ongoing, you know, education. Then education. We have some of the best, you know, schools in the country, in this state. But terrible, number one nursing school, UWL, you know, when Dave spearheaded the sports complex. Those things are all important. But, you know, really, sometimes it's the small gifts that I get the biggest joy out of. When somebody comes up and they need $1,000, to them, that means as much and sometimes more when you give to this big organization. You see what it does for that individual or that family or whoever it is. Or the Boys and Girls Club now can bring another family in and feed them Thanksgiving dinner. Those things make as big a difference. And I get as much joy out of those as I do the larger gifts. When I pass away, if I only have $7,000 left in my savings account, I mean that, I'm going to be okay with that because I believe I really made a difference. And I saw what it meant to my mom and dad. They haven't been as blessed financially as I have been. But for them, they gave back more than I could in ways when they couldn't afford to give back, but they did. Dave mentioned, you know, his father putting out a $10 bill. I remember we went to church every Sunday, and my father smoked cigarettes. And cigarettes were 20 cents a pack. And he had 20 cents in his pocket, and he didn't have cigarettes. And I knew after church we were going to go down to Red Cavity in his little gas station, and he was going to buy a pack of cigarettes. And I would see him take that 20 cents out of his pocket. He'd look at it, and a collection box would come, and he'd take a dime and put it in the collection box. And I thought, you know, and I knew he couldn't buy a pack of cigarettes. He went without them for several days. You know, see, that dime and him giving that back probably meant as much as if I gave $1,000 to somebody. And so, hey, they lived a very fulfilling life. As hard as it was, they were happy people. And to me, that's where the difference is in having something that's material versus something that brings real joy to your heart. I know a lot of people, Dave knows people, what, you know, They get a high by buying something new. It's kind of like an addiction. And then after a while, it wears off.
Who do you see as the next generation of givers? Not to put anyone on the spot. But
I would say, Maureen, that maybe the Reinhardts and the Gillettes asked that same question. Don Weber wasn't even in this community at the time. He was on a farm somewhere. They weren't counting on him, you know. We started growing throughout the state and enabled us to do what we're doing today philanthropically. So we don't know who they are, but I just got to believe they're going to happen because we got a lot of things good going on here besides health care. Somebody's going to be running Logistics Health 20, 30 years from now. Don and I are probably gone. And that person, we sure hope, is as philanthropic as Don was. And the same with our grocery store. My son owns the company today. And he understands philanthropy, and he's going to get pressure, even though he's living in Green Bay, to be philanthropic in La Crosse, where it all started, and where we have four stores and a lot of associates. But who are the next people? What's the next big business that's going to be here that's going to succeed and be able to be philanthropic like others have?
Is there any final thoughts that the two of you have on giving in the La Crosse area?
A lot of us encourage each other, really do. And, you know, if Dave calls me up and says, Don, look, got this project and, you know, we need to help out, I don't think twice about it. And I called Dave several times and said, hey, Dave, would you consider? I don't have to, you know, think twice about it, you know, because we understand and we support each other's endeavors and, you know, and how important it is. And we continue to encourage those that are around us, we surround ourselves with, to carry this on, how important it is, and that they see it and they understand it. I've known some people, Dave's known some people, who a big part of their life were not really happy people. They didn't have a sense of fulfillment. And somehow you get them into, you know, hey, you're capable. You can give back. And it's not always about the financial piece of it. There are so many other ways. It changes. It changes their whole outlook on life.
Don Weber is the founder and CEO of Logistics Health Incorporated. Dave Scogin is chairman and founder of Festival Foods. I talked with them about philanthropy and giving back to the community. Coming up next, we'll talk with organizations who benefit from charitable giving about what they do and what they need this time of year. You're listening to Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Maureen McCollum. To hear this or other recent editions of Newsmakers, visit our website at wpr.org/lacrosse. We also welcome your comments and ideas. Simply follow the links on our archives page at wpr.org/lacrosse.